Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Cool Down. I do it by myself now because the guys who are on the show, I don't trust them. I can't trust them. They're not in sync. Sonia comes in first with Cool Down, and then Wonga comes in second with Cool. No.
It's just, see, Silo. Wonga, you see Silo's like Ronaldo in front of goals there, boy. He's not passing anything anymore.
No. Take full responsibility. Take the hat trick.
How are you guys doing this evening, gents? Are you guys good?
Nah, I'm good. I'm good, man. Obviously, could have been better, but I'm okay. I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely a lot better than Wonga. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely. You much better than Wonga. You much better than Wonga. But yeah, guys. On the show tonight, we've got Wonga Dinga, the Dinganator, the Dingasaurus. He hasn't been seen in an Arsenal jersey in a while. That means because, why? They've lost 3 in a row. So he's wearing Bafana Bafana colors just to show how bad Arsenal is. Even Bafana Bafana is a better shirt to wear. And then we've got Claudio.
That's shouting. That's speaking volumes there, boy. Yo, Wonga, you need to assess your situation.
And then we've got Claudio as well. Yeah, he's happy. He's sitting pretty there at Anfield. I think he's sitting at Anfield trying to gather up some spirits for tonight's game. But yeah, guys, thanks for tuning in. And yeah, all those who are watching the show, remember to like and subscribe the show. Yeah, tell your friends, your mother, your sister, your ex-girlfriend, your future girlfriend, everyone, your brother, your sister, your brother's brother's father's uncle. Everyone needs to be on. And yeah, Warren is already in the comment section, so just throw in your comments as well, guys. Be a part of the show. But yeah, we've got a jam-packed show tonight, guys. We've got a lot to discuss, from African football to European football. But yeah, we'll start with something that's a bit closer to home. I know that some of our viewers may or may not watch local football, but just from time to time, we just like to keep up to date with what's going on. And yeah, I just wanted to just chat briefly about the CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederations Cup. So it's currently in the quarterfinal stages, and Mamelodi Sundowns played Petro de Luanda, which is a side from Angola, and they lost 2-1. And then Pirates played against Simba, which is from Tanzania, and they lost 1-0 through a dubious penalty. Very dubious penalty. But yeah, guys, just in terms of African football, I didn't expect you guys to watch the game, but what do you guys think in terms of them losing 2-1? Firstly, Mamelodi Sundowns losing 2-1 in Angola, and then Pirates losing 1-0 in Tanzania. And remember, guys, Sundowns didn't lose in the group stages. They won 5 games and they drew 1 game. So yeah, they had 16 points in group stages, but then now they've lost the first leg in Angola. Do you guys think they can turn around in South Africa this coming weekend?
Yeah, Sundowns is a strong team. I think it's a force to reckon with. And they've got good players. I mean, deep throughout that squad. I never watched the game, but I would not. I mean, like you said, I mean, they've come out the group stages basically undefeated, and here they come to a match. If there's even Jason saying that both teams will do a job at home, and I believe him, and I think yeah, sometimes you can't write them off. For sure. And in terms of the Pirates game, I saw the coach was,
not happy.
Yeah, he was definitely not happy. The Pirates fans as well, what I'm seeing from them, shame they're in a crisis as well. I don't know if my crisis or their crisis is worse. I mean, my crisis or Man United crisis.
they still play the continental football, man.
But they're not happy with the coach. And they're saying, this guy is just crying. He's crying. I think I listened to his comments and I'm watching the game. That's for sure. I mean, that penalty, the fact that they said they were going to use VAR, they should have checked it. I looked at it and I can't lie to you. When you look at it at first glance, you're like, nah, he gets the ball. But the replays I see, I can't make a decision from the replays that I saw. So you need to check it. But the ref himself said he was sure it was a penalty. But I can't, I, I, I mean, if you said it is, I mean, you can't complain about it. But the fact that they never checked it is also, it also brings question marks. But he also complained about the treatment that he that the team got there.
100%.
And I
But we
think,
know, guys, but let's touch on that for a bit longer. I think
yeah.
a lot of the times, I don't want to say South African teams when they go to other countries, but just in general, when other teams go to other countries, some other countries use underhanded tactics. You know, they make you fly to this place, and then after you fly here, then they make you drive from this place to that place. So there's no flights that get you closer to the stadium. They just use weird tactics. And then when you get to the hotel, then now you're being cooked by some other fancy chef that now puts in some interesting food in there, some little spices as well. And the next thing you know, the whole team or half the team is, you know, got a, you know, got a Dele Belly there, you know, type of thing, you know. And next thing,
Yeah.
you know, we're like this on the field, you know, type of
Yeah.
thing, guys. Like the tactics are crazy. Listen, last season, even I can even remember there was a time when where now there's a whole COVID protocols. So now they're getting COVID tests. And when they're getting COVID tests, there's a neutral person that's appointed by CAF to be the COVID like representative or medical person. And that person has to
Yes.
test that everyone is fit and ready for the game, no COVID cases. But still, some other teams still try to do underhanded things and say, no, those guys at the airport, they were tested for COVID and they were, and 10 of the guys were negative. But how? You know what I mean? Like they just use weird, like just whatever way to get ahead in terms of the game and so
So,
on.
yeah, look, and I mean, I think one thing, he and I think he put a valid point in that, saying that look, they need to treat the neighbors fairly. And I think that's correct. But I think what then, so obviously they have regulations. If you're gonna bring a, if I don't know what the regulations say, I mean, I should have actually checked before, but I'm pretty sure that, I mean, you have to. If you're going to have, if you're going to have your team coming to you, you have to sort of, you know, provide the right accommodation. Basically, it must be as equal to yours. That's what I'm saying. It must be, I mean, livable. The food, I mean, the change rooms, all those things
Everything,
must
yeah.
be equal. But what they cannot control, I mean, also the fans as well. What they cannot control is the how the fans react to you. You know, if they hate you, they hate you. You can't tell them to love you. If they make it hostile for you, they make it hostile. But even that. There's a boundary, and I think what will bound the fans is the law of that country.
Oh,
But you
definitely.
can't really control what you can't tell the fans to love you or stop hissing and stuff. They can make it. I mean, obviously, with like I say again, within the law, they they can make it difficult for you.
No,
And that must be expected. Yeah.
now they can do a lot. Claudio, what do you think in terms of African football? What can they, what needs to be done for them to advance to a level of, I guess, European football? I guess if we look at the what's this? We look at African football, then we look at South American football, and we look at African football. I think South American football and African football can actually look at each other and say, we are quite similar in terms of the underhandedness or the
Yes.
corruption within those confederations and in terms of traveling to each country and stuff. There's always some weird stuff that's happening. You know, I'm sure when those clubs, some of them, when they say they're going to Peru or they're going to Colombia, there's always something happening, you know, type of thing. You know, there's they make a noise when those guys are sleeping. Even in Europe, to some extent, it still happens as well. But what do you think that can be done in African football to get them to a level of European football where I guess it's just a little bit calmer, even though there is still some clubs that are still rowdy like Liverpool.
Yeah, I think I mean you've touched Silo, you've touched on a lot of different facts there. I mean, if you're drawing the parallel between South America and Africa, that's an obvious one in terms of how these countries are run. If you're looking at football, there's definitely passion, but also think when you're looking at football, football's a sort of microcosm of what the society is at a largest terms of what we're looking at corruption. So it does sort of seep its way into the sporting sort of, which is not something we want to see, but it does seep into the sporting sphere. It's just natural. It's when there is money and when there is sort of competition involved, that's kind of what happens. Someone's got sticky fingers, they're going to take things. So, but with regards to the actual football being played and the results that the two South African teams endured, the away fixtures, I mean, you've already hit the nail on the head with regards to, they are away fixtures. And generally within Europe, when you're playing in Europe, everyone goes, oh, it's an away fixture. It's going to be tricky because why? You've got to contend with fans. When it comes to Africa, you've touched on the things. It's not just, you're not just dealing with away supporters not liking you. You're dealing with a poison in the kitchen. You're dealing with 800 extra to 900 kilometers that you got to travel. You got to deal with all these things.
Too much.
So to Jason's point, yeah, the results aren't great, but they are within touching just distance. We do know coming to South Africa, the only problem South African teams have when teams have to come here is that it's almost like a second home game for the away team, because the facilities are nice, the pitches are good, so it's you're buzzing when you're used to playing in the shit, and you come back and the grass is green. You're gonna eat that grass all day, and that's the only thing that they need to watch out for. But at the end of the day, the caliber we know from Sanlam's perspective is there to be able to turn the results in their favor. As far as Orlando Pirates is concerned, I have no idea. Those gents are, they're just bones at the moment. No meat on the bones, just bones on the field.
Meat on the bones.
I know generally it's a good thing because they want to scare the people, but not in this sense. I think that club is being run backwards, and I feel like it's the pirate ship that had all the treasure, and now the other pirates are looting from them. That's where they find themselves.
I think also, Silo, to answer that question of yours in terms of what they should do, I think for me, it just like they said during that press conference, I think what must happen is, isn't it the coach said when they come, who are these guys now, these players? The Tanzanian team. Oh, when Simba come, yes, when they come to Orlando Pirates, they're going to treat them nicely in terms of giving them the right of accommodation, all those things. I think that's what must happen. If your team then decides, and I think that if I had a team, I'd do the same thing. If your opponents come, you treat them right, because that's how you were brought up, and that's what you understand as being appropriate. You know, you treat your visitors right. You make it. That's the general. I don't even think it's just an African thing. I think it's in all cultures as well. Is that when you have visitors, you treat them as if they're your family. Well, you know. Yeah. But when it comes to the competition, now we're competing. You know. And I remember my cousin was telling me when they, because I've never experienced this in soccer. When my cousin was telling me when they played rugby against who were these good teams you played against? You guys played against Graham, all right? Hey, Claudio.
Gray Bloom.
You guys, yes. He said those guys would, like, you said they get the biggest guy, put you down on the floor hard, and then he'll give you his hand to pick you up nicely. Like, are you okay? Picks you up. But they'll punish you. You know, everything is done solid. Hit you, hurt you hard.
There's no good sportsmanship.
Yes, they compete 100%. They're not going soft on you. They compete with you. They treat you as equal, but you know, they're not there to obviously to make a mockery of you. You know,
no, but that's a very different situation. Those schools.
No, I hear you.
No, let me tell you. Let me tell you what that is. Yes. That is a Liverpool. That is a Liverpool playing a Derby County, and of course, I'm going to kick a player and pick them up because I know I'm that much better than them. That's the
I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying in terms of. Ages. I hear that, but no, I'm just saying it's just that mentality. That's what I'm saying. I get the difference between the two sides. It's huge. It's massive. But I'm just saying, in terms of the mentality of treating your opponents, I mean, on the pitch, I'm not expecting that treatment. But I'm just saying, I mean, before they play the match, that's how it should be. You know, you should treat them nice, your friends, whatever. But as soon as you get on that pitch, that's when it goes down.
Okay. No, that's fair. That's fair. No, that's fair. Now we obviously gonna just fly over the Mediterranean, and then even go further on and go into the north and to the colder shores, and why Claudio has a smile on his face is the fact that his team on Saturday, they beat Man City 3-2 in the FA Cup semi-final, and then on the Sunday we had the London derby between the two biggest teams in London this season, which is Chelsea and Crystal Palace. And then Chelsea came out on top. So Chelsea, the top dogs in London this season, with Palace being second and all the other ones following thereafter. I know Wanga disagrees, but I think that's how we should write it, right, Claudio?
History writes itself, man. The fact that Arsenal need to hire, what is it, culture consultants. They've legitimately hired gentlemen in suits to come there and assess the culture of the club. And that happened this week.
Arsenal's panicking.
I'm sorry. Just take the dive. Panicking. Just take the dive.
We'll get the lowest tier
London club right now in the Premier League. That's where it's at.
Exactly.
But yeah, Claudio, let's start off with you. You had a lot to say on the Discord channel, but yeah, guys, in the comment section, join the Discord channel. Claudio had a lot to say in the Discord channel in terms of this game. He said that Pep gambled, and it obviously didn't pay off for him. Those who don't know, he made 7 changes from the team that played against Atletico Madrid. So, Claudio, just go through with us, the whole game in terms of the fact that Liverpool, in their second leg against Benfica, played a team, that mirrored what Pep played on Saturday, right? You could say that, right? I can say that not the strongest team played in the Benfica game and the strongest team played in this game, whereas Pep, his strongest team played against Atletico because his game was not done. And then now he kind of felt that the legs were not there for this game, and then he tried to gamble.
To be fair, I think Pep took a scapegoat. I think he used that Champions League tie, and this is... He used it to his advantage to play the players that he did. But this is where you speak about the rivalry not having that sort of that teeth and that grit. And I'm sorry, that was case in point showing. As soon as I saw that team sheet up there, I think Arman even made the comment with regards to who was in goals. As soon as I saw that team sheet, I said, this is nonsense. I don't care if it's not your priority. I don't care if it's not. I mean, the Man City fans couldn't even fill the stadium. They couldn't even fall. So, this was the thing. You watched it and immediately you went, this is a home game for Liverpool. Secondly, you then saw the starting lineups. I've never in my life gone, okay, this is Liverpool taking on arguably, they say, the best team in the world, you can say, right currently throughout club football. And I sat there as a Liverpool fan, confident going, wow, I can't believe we're going to win this comfortably. I couldn't believe it. And obviously, it played out like that, and towards the end, but for me, I'm just thinking, what sort of psychological damage are you now imparting or putting onto your own side by putting a team out like that, by making the statement of going, we're going to come here, we don't really care about the FA Cup. You don't, but you've lost to a rival that is not just challenging you in the FA Cup, a rival that is challenging you in all the trophies, the league, the Champions League. And now you've given them a little bit. I don't care what it is. People are going to say, it might not be a big psychological edge, but they've given it to them regardless.
It's a confidence Liverpool boost.
Liverpool are buzzing. They are absolutely buzzing now. And they're going to go into it and they're going to say, yeah, let's keep going. Let's keep. And you know what? For the first time ever, for all the conversations we have as a group, every time we've been on Goal Lounge TV, every time we've spoken, we've said that the difference between the two sides was squad depth. And now suddenly, all of a sudden, you're looking at Liverpool and you're going, wow. I think one of the comments was, no, but Liverpool have a stronger squad. And you're like, whoa, wait. You've spent £100 million on Jack Grealish that you use as an extra player. Anyway. Point is,
when you see fit that you utilize it. But yeah, Wanga, share your thoughts there on the game or the whole rivalry thing going on.
Yeah, look, I think, but if you look at it as well, they also played. That Atletico's tough. I thought
you said that was
yes, that's what I said.
You said that.
That's what I said. But then Pep came out and said they had injuries, and if a player is injured, they're injured. What can you do if a player is injured? That's what I'm trying to say. What can you do if they're injured? I thought he would have played a full team, you know. But then again, when they come to the match, it wasn't like a 4-0, 5-0, it was 3-2. And I felt that,
The game was done.
Jesus had a one-on-one opportunity as well.
With who? He had a one-on-one with Alisson. What have I said about Alisson in one-on-one situations? You make it sound like he missed it. I'm telling you now, that man, that goalkeeper, you can say whatever you want in terms of any other sort of goalkeeping department. When it comes to one-on-ones, I've seen it time and time again. He is the best when it comes to
them.
He had the chance. Yeah. He was up against Alisson. And Alisson is also a Brazilian teammate.
But nonetheless, I'm saying that... opportunity presented itself, you know. It's the same thing like Arsenal. We had our chances. Keeper got the better. He did well. Alisson was there as well. Alisson did better. The chances were there. It's not that.
This is the problem with Arsenal. It's not. We're talking and the man is comparing Arsenal in the same conversation.
What is the score, Claudio? It was 3-2.
Yeah, but did you watch the game?
It was 3-2. 2-2. Wonga, yes, I watched the game.
Are you not a football man? Are you not a football man?
Claudio.
Wait, answer the question. Just answer the question, yes or no.
I am a football man, Claudio. It was 3-2.
No. So you will know how the game
Keeper flunked it out. Keeper also gave you guys a goal. Okay. But
so are you telling me after watching the 90 minutes that you are convinced that Man City had a chance of winning that game? Even at 3-2?
No, look, that was gonna happen. I hear what you're saying. What I'm telling you is, you're telling me the game was done. But it was close. At the end of the day, the scoreline tells you 3-2. It wasn't like they ran over them. You can't deny that. They conceded two goals. You cannot deny that.
I can't believe
you can't deny that.
Can you bring some sound effects for the show, guys? Like, why don't we like?
I actually can't believe what he's saying here. He's making it seem like
You can't deny this.
It wasn't close. The game
you
was
can't deny this good. The game. I hear what you're saying.
Let's explain how the game went. The game was a steamroller first off. Halftime came. Okay, Liverpool came out relaxed. We're now managing what's coming next, what's after coming. Not this game, not second half. What's coming next? Because we need to see this game out. Pep Guardiola said, listen, guys, I threw you on here. You're making me look bad. I'm not going to bring on the other guys because this game is done. Go show me what you've got. They showed it off. Naturally, what happens? Momentum changes. They take their foot off the pedal. The other team slowly grows into the game. They get one chance. Oh, a little bit of noise. And they see the game out. That's the result. What do you think? What are you saying here? I'm actually confused.
Yes, they won. I am just saying that even though Pep Guardiola played a second team, that they could have, at the end of the day, they could have stolen that one. They could have maybe taken it extra time. Let me put it like that. But it's not, I mean, 3-2 is 3-2, Clark. It's not a 3-0 drubbing. That's what I'm trying to say. That, yeah, he took off the players. He played a weaker team. They still managed to score two goals against a strengthened Liverpool. And for me,
are you being serious now? Did you not hear what I
they
just
scored,
said? They scored two goals.
I am telling you, Liverpool.
Wonga, your psyche. What happens to your psyche? What happens to your psyche as a? Are you joking though? I can't believe. Is he being serious?
I am telling you. They scored two goals.
You were the same guy. You were the same guy who said, oh, but they conceded three goals against Benfica when the tie was completely done. You were the same guy that said that. Who, by the way,
they did.
Yeah, but what did Liverpool do? They rested that game. They took that out. And then what did they do with Man City? So, yeah, say what you want to say. You can say it. But that's why
they won the game, but they could have. I'm just saying they could have. I'm just saying they could have. It was close. It was 3-2. They could have. Okay. They could have.
Didn't. They're out.
That's, I'm just saying. That's the truth. I'm just telling you.
They could have.
I am not wrong. They could have. They're not far.
But they're not.
They're not far, as you say.
Arsenal could be.
They're not far, as you say. That's what I'm saying.
Let's come back, guys. There was another semi-final, guys. So let's just touch on the London derby. I think.
How much was the score in that final?
What final?
The Chelsea and in the semi final, the Chelsea and the Crystal Palace.
It was 2-0 to Chelsea.
Okay.
It was 2-0 to Chelsea, wasn't it?
Yeah, right? I don't know. Yes. Is that a trick question? What are you saying?
I don't know.
No, I'm just asking.
It was 2-0 in that game. I didn't watch the Liverpool and Man City game, but I watched this game. Yeah, I think it was obviously not a vintage Chelsea performance in this game. They got the goals eventually through a lot Ruben Loftus-Cheek, and then also got a goal through Mason Mount. I think that Palace has done did well to get to the finals, and then also to actually compete in the final. You know, there wasn't a walkover for them as such in that semi final. So I think they can walk away with their heads held up high. But I think there's one matter which I would like to bring up. You know, there was some comments coming out in the media that, you know, Chelsea are being unfair by not allowing Conor Gallagher to play for Palace in the semi-final. Guys, Chelsea didn't make those rules, guys. It's a rule in the FA. The FA has made those rules that a loaned out player can't play against his club. You know, I mean, that's the rule. Exactly. That's what I know. I've never seen a player 100%. Playing against club.
But it's not a sort of set standard rule. It depends on what the contract stipulates. And the contract that Chelsea gave was that rule. So that was stipulated in the contract. So in some cases, in some cases they do let them do it for development purposes. But you got to say though, if Conor Gallagher did play in the FA Cup against the Chelsea for development of the player, that would then benefit a Chelsea hypothetically. It would be far greater getting that experience at Wembley
for the long term. For the long term.
For the long term. 100%. And realistically, would he have been the difference that would have helped Crystal Palace to win? That's also the other thing. Would he? But I suppose you don't want to take the chance.
Yeah, he gives him something different than no other midfielder gives them in the Palace team. But yeah, I guess it's neither here nor there. You know, these things are obviously there. But yeah, at the end of the day, they won. You know, I think. But I'll bring another matter on later on where maybe Wonga might cry about. But let's head into the Premier League fixtures because there's still a lot to discuss. Yeah, let's discuss this one, Wonga. I think let me go to you because you would have already started the weekend on a high, saying that woo.
I did.
Woo, you know, Spurs have lost. You know, and let's take advantage, right? So go through you know that game with us in terms of your emotions. I think yeah, Brighton scored in the 90th minute or so. Hey guys, Brighton have went to North London and beaten both Arsenal and Spurs in the space of 2 weeks. So can we say that Brighton is the kings of North London? Yes or no? Yes, I think we can, guys. They're the kings of North London.
And they're playing Man City next.
Yeah, see, Brighton, I mean, I think, I did not expect them just to get pummeled as good a form that Spurs were on. If you remember Brighton before those, yes, how many losses was that? Eight or something. They were not a easy team to get past, you know. And then they come against Arsenal, you know, they're picking up. It looks like they're starting to pick up again, you know. And Spurs, and I said it last week. I don't know what it is. I can't even sensibly say something about it. But they've got it in them to lose. Like, any point in time, they're going to just falter. You don't know. They play well. One day they'll beat a Man City, they'll beat a Man United, then they'll beat a smaller team, and they'll play another smaller team afterwards, and then they're not the same team. And I never watched the game, but there's the result. They didn't, I mean, a team that's scoring four goals in I think the past four games, you would expect them to put a goal against Brighton at home, but they didn't. And yeah, that as an Arsenal fan, you're looking at that and you're saying, okay, good, you know. But you also got a team that you need to worry about as well. you're desperately worrying about.
You can't count your chickens before they hatch, man. You can't count your chickens before they hatch. And that's Arsenal. You know, but until you guys play. You know, Arsenal was talking about games in hand. What is games in hand, guys? Games in hand is you play Chelsea now. Game in hand, and let's see what you can do. Yep. But Claudio, what do you think of Spurs' up and down performances that Wonga predicted? Because he saw it before we did.
Yeah, the thing is, see, this is where we've actually got to take Wonga's word with more meaning and rather than face values, because he understands his rival better than most, I suppose, because he studies them more than his own team. So next time we will listen to you there, Wonga. We will listen to you. No, but I think like Matt would say, Matt would come on to the show and say there's a reason they called Spursy Spurs. You know, that's what they are. You know, one minute they're hot, next minute they're cold, and they know how to show up for the big games, and this is small. It's the smaller games that are not to turn up for. And I don't think it's a problem that obviously your elite teams have for obvious reasons, but it's sort of that transition phase where they've just been, they almost struggling from the same thing that Man United have. They're sitting with the same players. It's complacent within the dressing room. Because the complacency is there, they need to be motivated in a specific manner to get geared up for these games. We know the big games, they can get geared up for. They can be motivated for because they're big games. The crowd's going to show up. You know that. But it's the smaller ones where you have to just get the job done, grind it out. It doesn't have to be pretty. And that's what they don't have right now. They don't have the mental fortitude. And that's something that you would think a Conte would bring to the table. And I mean, to a certain extent, he's turned the table around a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's still the same sort of players, the same group of players that have let down Pochettino, that have let down Mourinho, that have let down Nuno Espirito Santo, and now seemingly letting down Conte.
No, it happens. I think, it's can we call it the mentality? I think it's the mentality of the players. You know what I mean? I think they are quite soft. You know, I think also not having enough winners in the team doesn't help. You know, I think if you had some guys who are serial winners within that team, they would obviously carry them. You know, I think Hugo Lloris is the winner in that team. You know, yes, he's the club captain. He's the captain of France, you know, World Cup winner, second place in the Euros in 2016. So I think he's the one guy who definitely should be, you know, lifting them up. And a Harry Kane, even though Harry Kane hasn't won anything, he's definitely, I think, been in teams where he's you know, obviously he leads England now and he's played with some elite players. I think those are the two guys that are supposed to be trying to carry that their team in terms of going forward and trying to do something different. But it's interesting to see what happens. And I guess it now brings it to my team, you know, who scraped through a victory. You know, I think we spoke about it on the show that, you know, Man United could have done, you know, anything in this game. You know, I saw it coming where Man United, I couldn't say there's a therefore. There was no therefore in this game for me, guys. There was no boom, 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 bam. You know what I mean? Cool. We obviously got the early lead. We got the two goals. We started off quite well. I was actually very happy with our first half performance. You know, we were playing very well, but still susceptible at the back, which has been one of our weaknesses this season at the back. But what do you guys think of Man United's performance, scraping through a 3-2 victory? You know, it brings about this question now. Is Man United back in the top four race? Claudio, what do you think? I don't want to get Wonga's thoughts first, because Wonga has very big views about this.
Wonga's got his bias goggles on there. From my side, I think it's just right now, no one really wants it. So therefore, everyone's got a chance. Yeah. It's who can be, I think, how many games are left? Seven games. Who can be the most consistent in these next seven games? And I think that consistency is going to be down to the fact of who wants it the most at the end of the day. And I mean, no one's consistent. So everyone's got a chance. Even let's throw in Wolves. Why not? We might as well throw them in there.
No, man. Come on. Be serious, man. Be serious. But Wonga, tell us your thoughts about all of this.
Look, if you guys can, Silo, you must just do it now. You must bring up Man United's next run of games. Bring up Tottenham's next round of games. They bring up Arsenal. Just look at them and Arsenal's next round of games.
We're not that advanced, but let me do it.
We can make it happen. What's wrong with you? Come on, Silo. You're the host. You put that list together and then you show it. That's advanced. It's called logistics, man.
So you can look at it. So I look at it and look, I mean, I wouldn't want to look at Arsenal's one. Maybe you guys look at it better because it's a bit of a biased thing that you want to maybe. But if
You speak while you speak, I'll bring it up.
Yeah, so if you truly look at the list, if you're looking at them, all the games that all those teams are playing, you just aren't too sure. You're like, yeah, they can, but they can also lose. They can win the game, but they can also lose to those teams. All seven of them. All seven of those games for all the teams, and I'm including Man United in this as well. They, I think everyone plays at Liverpool. Man United play today. That's already one game done and dusted. Now you've got six more left now, Celo. Arsenal are looking the same. If I'm truly honest, Arsenal are looking the same, and even at Tottenham are looking the same. If you look at the list, you don't know if they can actually win those games. You know, and not, let me say this, you don't know if they can actually, there's no ways they can, we can both answer this and say, there's no ways we're going to win, take all of them W's.
Well, we'll make it easier. I couldn't find the best possible website for this. So apologies, guys. It's not as pretty as I would have liked it. You know, our head of design couldn't do this before the show. So we have to do with what we can, guys. We're gonna start with Arsenal, guys. So guys, Arsenal's next fixture is against Chelsea, which is tomorrow, and then they've got Man United on the weekend. Then they've got West Ham, and then they've got Leeds United. Then they've got Tottenham, and they've got Newcastle United. And they're playing Newcastle United away from home. So you guys know that means 3 points guaranteed for Newcastle. And then a North London derby, and then Leeds, depending on if they're safe or not. But as Wonga said, nothing is easy. Arsenal can lose 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All six fixtures Arsenal can definitely lose. And then now we come to Man United. Man United's got Liverpool away tonight, and then Arsenal away in the weekend. Then the startup team playing them at home, which is also a tough game. Brighton also a tough team to play against, obviously after their confidence boosters. And then this match has actually been moved, I think, to April. But I just need to confirm. But this is Chelsea and then Crystal Palace. So also Man United, no easy games here. playing the startup team and some other teams in and around them. And then let's skip West Ham.
West Ham. Why do you want to skip West Ham?
Okay, let's go to West Ham because they lost.
Did they draw?
West Ham's got Burnley,
yeah,
Chelsea, Arsenal, Norwich, Man City.
I know what you're going to say.
No, it's tough.
And then I don't know why they
put looking at Tottenham.
I don't know why they did this for Tottenham, guys. They made Tottenham's one all fancy. This is a North London page. So they got Brentford on the weekend, and then they've got Leicester City, then they've got Liverpool, and they've got Arsenal, then they've got Burnley,
actually,
and then they've got Norwich.
That's
more favorable.
They have more favorable because they got Burnley and Norwich. I'm not saying, guys, by this time, Burnley and Norwich could be relegated, guys. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, I agree. They could be relegated by this time.
So that may be playing to Spurs' favor, but they are these games that they have here.
But Spurs can trip.
Startup team is difficult. Leicester's not easy. Liverpool's definitely not easy. And then obviously they're North London rivals. So all these teams have some tricky fixtures coming up, guys. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But definitely. Wonga, let's just jump into your team because we're already talking about the whole top four race. I think I wish I could pull some sound bites from last week Thursday's show where we said Southampton after getting thrashed don't lose the next game. We said that. That's what we said. Southampton after getting thrashed don't lose the next game. They somehow just wake up and just like show you that they actually can play football. And what do they do? What do they do, Wonga?
Did you see Ben Foster? Look. Yes.
No, Fraser.
Did you see those saves? Oh my goodness. I don't know if you guys watched it, but he pulled off, the third one, you're at the box. Maybe you respect it more, but the other two were, that's a typical, Barcelona goal back in the day. Man City goal. You put a pass across the goal and the guy just finishes it. He comes and he pulls out a hectic save. He's far away from the ball and to get exactly where the ball was going. I think that was brilliant from him. But I think Arsenal, they started the game well. But again, we didn't put a goal in the back of the net. Conceded a very, very, very soft goal. it was a very soft goal. Against a run of play as well. I don't know if it was a corner, I can't remember, but the ball's going out, the guy literally just hits it back into the box. And, everyone is sleeping. I mean, even the comment, there's one commentary where they're shouting that Ben White is keeping, I can't remember who passed the ball back, but it was keeping the guy on side, because he's taken time to get out, you know. It's stupid error. But we conceded the goal and then we struggled to score. I think we do enough to get two goals there, definitely. But Ben Foster, he was on form. Fraser Foster. he pulls off, and yes, he's a big guy as well. He pulls off, crazy saves.
He's a unit, man.
Big man. Yes, a flipping unit. But now I think, you know, I'm looking at this result and I see the Arsenal fans, they're going hectic. You know, people are panicking. Even now you're saying they're hiring a culture guy in the club, but I listened to that thing that Claudio sent in the group as well. The guy's
Did you give that a good listen?
Yeah, listen. He's literally saying like, look, we're looking at, a couple of months ago, they were like, Arteta's changed the culture. Now they're freeing someone to change the culture again. But you see, that's what I'm saying. All these guys in Arsenal, they're reacting, you know? And I mean, that's... And the fact that they can write two articles like that in the space of a couple of months shows that they also don't know. There's a clear problem. It's not just on any website. It's on the Arsenal website that he's getting all this stuff from, you know? So you can see that there's some sort of disconnect. No one knows what's happening and they're trying to give reasons. I'm like, Oaks, chillax. Yeah, we lost to Southampton, bro. But
Wonga. You've literally gone. You see, this is the thing. Where do you decide to chillax? You've gone from being in the driver's seat. Wait. You've gone from being in the driver's seat for the Champions League spot to losing four out of five games. And now your next, as we've just seen, your next couple of fixtures are tough.
Yes, yes, yes. But they only, they literally, you'd say they're tough. You'd say they are tough games because, let's say Arsenal won the last three games they played.
They're playing Chelsea.
You'd have more confidence.
Forget about all of them. Yeah. Forget about all of them. Just look, four out of five games.
This is what I'm saying.
Your next game is Chelsea.
I hear what you're saying.
You think they're going to pick up pieces after that? If they lose.
Listen, Claudio.
You think pieces are just going to come together like this?
You guys, I haven't even finished speaking. The guys, the last, when we, when it began the season, guys were saying, where are we? When we began the season. No.
Let's listen.
When
guys.
We began the season, where were we? We were at, we were one position away from relegation, right? And we had lost three games in a row. Literally, we lost three games in a row. And guys were like, we lost to Brentford. Again, we lost to a Chelsea as well. Chelsea were in those. We lost to a Man City. And guys were already saying, these guys are doomed. We started picking up runner form. Sharp, they were in a top four position. And we've done well to get out of that position, right? We've done well. And now we're sitting here again. The guys around us are doing the same thing that we are doing. I'm not saying that, now we're looking at the other guys. We must be comfortable because the other guys are doing this. But yeah, we've given away a favorable position, but it's not completely away from us. You know, it's not completely away from it. It is a bit worrying. You know, it is a bit worrying because now it's a Tottenham, it's a Man United you're competing against. All those guys have quality in the team to go up against. But again, I say those guys, they literally like us. Can't lie to you. They literally, you say that us the same. Man United are even unexpectedly. It's funny enough that I wasn't even looking at the points. I was looking at watching Man United's results. Arsenal have had a consistent run. Man United have been up, down, up, down, up, down, 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 then up. Then it's just been all over the place. But where they find themselves in a fourth spot because other guys are doing nonsense, you know, even though their team is not doing great. That's why I say, like, I think they must relax a bit. Now guys are changing culture. And now they're saying, I'm like, guys, relax, relax. And that guy was saying the same thing, though. You know, I think guys must just relax.
I think more people just need to tune in just to listen to Wonga from an Arsenal perspective, just so they can calm their tits. Wonga rants.
No, this is, but like, Claudio, if you think, like, what I'm saying is that, you know, the Arsenal fans, let me actually say this. The guy had a good point in terms of this. Like what did you call those guys? The management, whatever those guys are, PR people. It's the simple PR. This is the simple form of doing it. Win games. There's no need to go there and, it's funny enough when he was talking, I was literally saying, thinking the same things in my head. Why are they getting a PR team? If you win games, you don't have
your
this problem.
Changes.
Literally.
Changes, yeah.
Yeah. You literally. Develop a winning culture by winning games. Liverpool did the same thing. No one cares. Liverpool right now, no one cares if they're playing like the team of old, like Steven Gerrard who won the Champions League. I don't give a cock. They just want to win the games. They win games. They're in it. We buy.
Wonga. I know everyone loves this segment, but let's give other teams some airtime, guys. Let's move on to Newcastle versus Leicester City. I think this is something that Wonga is also very passionate about, and the fact that if Newcastle is playing at home, you need to bet a certain amount. And guys, we knew there was never going to be a clean sheet for Leicester City in this game. Let's discuss the, you know, Newcastle get back to their home ground. They win 2-1. Bruno Guimarães scores two goals. So he's finally settled in after benching probably first three or four games, and now obviously being in the starting lineup, he's also scored a previous goal against Southampton as well. So this is his third goal in the Premier League. And he's also got some assists as well. So yeah, guys, what do you guys think of Newcastle's performance? I know Vard said that he won't show his face till he eclipses Newcastle in the league table, so we might only see Vard next season. What do you guys think, Claudio, in regards to this game?
Well, I think first and foremost, Bruno Guimarães has come out saying he wants to be a legend at the club. And I think when you're seeing Joel Linton all of a sudden finding another Brazilian, the two of them together in that midfield did the absolute, brought so much joy for that Newcastle stadium. Like they were up and down. They were celebrating. They were singing and you can just feel it. you talk about needing culture consultants. I mean, what Newcastle did to fix their culture was they got rid of their owner, they got some money, and they got a decent manager, and now all of a sudden
they started winning.
But you've also got a player that they've signed from Lyon, a Brazilian player who's saying he doesn't want to leave. He wants to be a legend of this club. And the goals that he fought, the goals that he scored were goals that he had to fight for. Mm. No, I know you're showing money, but I mean, there was fight there. And that's the difference now. You got, I mean, Arsenal, where's the fight? If you've got to compare what you saw that. And also, credit to Arjun for always saying 95th minute winner. Bruno Guimarães scored a 95th minute winner.
95th minute winner. Yeah, Arjun.
We should have bet on it, Arjun.
As you're right. As you say, Wonga, just your thoughts on this game. I know your voice is probably tired from the rubbish about Arsenal, but just your thoughts on this game in terms of Newcastle, you know, getting a last minute winner against Leicester.
Nah, look, I think, like I said, in Newcastle, I wouldn't have predicted them to win, but definitely to bring the fight to Leicester. They weren't going to make it easy for them. That I knew. And I definitely knew they were going to put a goal there for sure. And I've said it to you guys. I've said it to you many times. And it's happened for how many weeks now? If you guys want to do anything, just say Newcastle to score a goal in the game. The odds are always good. And you'll probably get something out of it. This team is fighting. It must be a good team it must be nice to support them because you're actually watching a team that's trying to win, you know, and they don't have, you wouldn't say they have world class players, you know, but they're doing the job against the Leicester City. I can't remember who else they did this season as well, but they're putting in a fight.
I think if you had to look at any club right now in the Premier League, if you had to be playing away from home, one of the places you do not want to be going is there. St. James's Park.
Yeah, 100%.
I think if you're looking right now, which club finds itself with that sort of atmosphere, that sort of trepidation, where as soon as you walk into the stadium, the players are going to feel it. I mean, you could say Liverpool right now in terms of where Liverpool finds itself. But apart from that, it's almost reminiscent of where United were years ago, what Highbury was for Arsenal. No, this is still early days for Newcastle. That's the scary thing, is the fans had to put up with so much shit that this is what they're doing now, and it's only the beginning.
Can we get better from here? And I definitely agree. It's scary. It's scary. It's definitely scary. But yeah, guys, just before we move on to other matters in the Premier League, just wanted to say from Goal Lines TV, our thoughts are with Cristiano Ronaldo and Georgina Rodriguez in this tough time.
Hey,
and obviously, he took out a statement last night saying that he lost one of his children when Georgina was giving birth to the twins. So, yeah, so his son has sadly passed away, and yeah, that's very sad. Nothing. I think we saw the whole football community coming together just to obviously put their comments out as well into his tweet and replying, and you know, Liverpool, Manchester City, Spurs, Arsenal, former clubs that he's played for, all kind of put out a message just to be with him. It's very tough, you know, during these times. But yeah, as we said, Goal Lines TV as well is with you in this trying time. And yeah, I think just before we look at the fixtures that are gonna take place this week, I think we need to give a tribute to one of the greatest managers in the Premier League has ever seen, guys. He was the longest serving manager of any team in the Premier League, and probably our favorite manager on this show, Sean Dyche. He lost his job. I think it's unfair that he's lost his job. I was not happy about it because I think the man deserved to at least go down with his team. Because he's been at Burnley for 10 years, guys. And in that 10 years, they got relegated once and he brought them back up immediately. So in that 10 years span,
and he kept them there longer than they should have been. Exactly, not for our
guys,
liking.
And Burnley even played in the Europa League, guys. He qualified Burnley for the Europa League, guys. I think we need to give this guy a round of applause, guys, for what he did with Burnley.
One man.
Wonga's not happy. Wonga's not happy. Wonga is
happy. That's why he's not clapping. The timing of the sacking, though. No. The timing. I literally, in the Discord channel, for everyone watching us now, I mean, you know, I literally put up that stat saying, you know, there's something that Burnley are leading in this Premier League table. That's long balls.
As I put that
stat up, the man gets sacked. I think someone's bugging our channel there. I don't know what's going on there. Wonga.
No, but what are your thoughts on sacking? Do you think that it's too late for Burnley to recover? At a point, there was, at a certain time this weekend when they were leading in their game against West Ham, they actually were a point behind Everton. But obviously, they didn't hang on for the victory. Now they're 3 points behind Everton. So what do you think in terms of this? They've got a point on the weekend against West Ham. Do you think they can still survive? It's 3 points from safety for them.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think anyone can do. Can't I? We'll see, but I just don't think. I mean, sacking Sean Dyche now would solve their problems. I think if they wanted to stay up, I think Sean Dyche would have been the guy to do that.
To give it
And he's
up.
done it many times. But yeah, I think. But I mean, even for him, it's going to be difficult. Now you're going to bring someone else, and the guy's been coaching the team for 10 years. I don't know what the aim
No,
is
they can't.
because.
They can't, guys. They can't.
They can't,
They
yeah.
can't survive. They don't.
They
Like, why
can't.
would
So
you do
what?
that? Why not just
Too
let
late.
him
Yeah.
see it out, get a new manager? Now you're asking whoever you're asking to come in. You're
Ben
giving them
Mee.
seven games. You're giving them 7 games to try and do something, and then pick up the pieces after. It doesn't make sense, the decision, but it is what it
Yeah,
is,
I
and we're
can't.
happy for it. We are
Yeah.
happy for it. Let's not be
Guys, oh
yeah,
there's no more,
forget the.
drinking, guys, in the man, it's
Although
rubbish, man. It's rubbish.
you saw Sean Dyche, they're already recruiting in the
It's already
pubs there. He's already.
recruiting. He's already recruiting. Yeah, the man's already recruiting. Guys, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, join our Discord channel so you can also know the inside jokes, guys. We can't just make the jokes on the show, and baby spoon you. What's feed you guys the
Spoon feed,
spoon feed, spoon feed. Yeah, spoon feed
yeah.
you the information. But yeah, guys, let's focus on some tasty fixtures that are going to be taking place in midweek. I think obviously we have to start with the biggest fixture in English football. That is Liverpool versus Man United. And as you can see at the bottom there, the starting lineup for Man United has been announced. So the starting lineup for Man United, for those who can't read at the bottom, it's De Gea in goals, Wan-Bissaka at right wing back, and then it's a back three
No.
of Jones, Lindelof, and Maguire. And then Diogo Dalot as a
Oh, God.
left wing back, and then they're playing a 5-3-2 formation or a
Guys,
three
they're gonna sit in their big box the whole
a
game and
three
hope for a draw. That's what they're gonna
so a 3-4-1-2 formation if you want to look at it in that way. And then they've got Matic,
Bunga's dying.
Pogba, Bruno Fernandes, what's Marcus Rashford and Anthony Elanga. So that's the Man United starting lineup, and then we've got the Liverpool starting lineup, which is Alisson in goal, Trent Alexander-Arnold at
Strong.
right back, Matip centre back with Van Dijk, left back Robertson, then the centre midfield trio is Fabinho, Henderson, and Thiago, and then the front three is Diaz, Salah, and Mane. Claudio, let's start with you in terms of this matchup. What are your thoughts just going into the game? And seeing the starting lineups.
Yo, I mean, seeing the starting lineup, I did say, speaking to a United fan earlier today, and I said, look, the one thing they do have for them is that Ragnik knows Klopp very well. I mean, but that won't really help because the players aren't listening to Ragnik anyway. So he's trying to, plug a sinking ship with some whatever he's got there. But the way they set up here, three center halves, they're going to be playing five at the back and they're going to be sitting on the edge of their big box. They're going to be hoping to deny space in behind and just try and frustrate Liverpool, let them play in front of them because we know how effective the Liverpool front three are when they do get a little bit of space. So they're going to deny that. Then the question is, can Liverpool get the ball out wide and will the Trent Alexander cross or the Robertson cross be the difference at the end of the day? And if you've got a player like Jota coming off the bench, who finds that space in the box and puts his head on the thing or even Mane, I think that's where the difference will be at the end of the day. But I mean, they're hoping for a draw. It's a hope. I think for Man United, there was all that talk about whether or not the motivation for them is to spoil the quadruple
Quadruple.
chase for Liverpool. Whereas that's not the case at all. For them, it's just to try and leave the stadium with respect for themselves, not even for anyone else. That's what it is. Because 5-0, I think Harry Maguire came out saying 5-0 was the lowest point in his career at United, Old Trafford, suffered by Liverpool. So I think tonight, if they can walk away with a draw and not get beat, they will be super, super proud of themselves this evening. And that's what they're going to be playing to do. So whether or not you want to walk, I don't know. But I'm hoping Liverpool just open that up early and force them to play so we can see something.
Wonga, what do you think with the start with respect to starting lineups?
Yeah, look, I agree with Claudio in terms of how Man United are trying to set up, but I think I think Liverpool want this. Liverpool really, really, they need this win if they want to continue with their title hopes. Not even a draw is not satisfactory. And looking at their starting lineup, I think they'll get that. I think again, the man, the most important man on that team sheet right now is David De Gea. He's going to have to put on, some Marvel Comics things there for us. There's no ways to keep that. Oh, goodness. Sure. It's going to be hectic for him. Mane, Tia, Salah. Ah, that was going to be hectic for this guy. Maguire in front of him.
Give us a prediction there, Wanga. Let's go off the predictions because we've got two more games to still chat about.
I say three. I say three to Man United. David De Gea making seven saves.
What? What did you say?
I mean 3-0 to Liverpool. Sorry, 3-0 to Liverpool. David De Gea making seven saves. Yeah, David De Gea making seven
saves. I'd say 3-1 Liverpool. I'm hoping we see goals. I'd say 3-1 because you got Rashford on the counter, so there's always that, and that's what they're playing for. So, and Ilunga. I think Ilunga's a great player. Watch out for him. I think he's dangerous on the counter.
No, it's cool. It's cool. No, I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw. Speaking with Wanga's heart here, 1-1 draw. Let's come on, Red Devils. The next game. Okay, Arjun says 10-0 to Liverpool. Wait,
you must see that, Silo. You changed it very fast. You saw that one. It came up and he was out.
No, I didn't, Claudia. I was trying to bring it up. I was trying to bring up the comments.
All right.
Don't forget, the problem is as well, is I'm trying to drive this show and then you try to drive as well. You can't have two bus drivers.
I'm not trying to drive.
Let's see who else has given a prediction. What did he say? I can't type all the scorers. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Yes. Because he always types who's going to score and so on.
He's going to score in the 95th minute.
I think Man United will be lucky to come away with a point, let alone a victory.
Yeah, 100%.
Guys, if you think with your head, it's written a 2-goal deficit victory for Liverpool. Whether it's a 2-0, a 3-1, a 4-2, whatever it is, Liverpool will come out probably on top. But I'm hoping for at least a point for this game. And then we've got Wonga's game in hand that they've been crying about. And then they forgot that the game in hand is against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. So Wonga, what do you think about your chances in tomorrow's game at Stamford Bridge? It's a London derby. You guys have lost three games on the bounce. So what do you guys think in terms of this fixture, because at a certain point you guys were like, we win our games, whatever, da 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 da. We beat Chelsea, we number three. Flip it now, a couple of weeks later, you guys are sixth in the log, and you win this game, you go to fifth only, so you're not even going to the third that you guys were dreaming about.
Yeah, look, I think it's also a very important game for Chelsea, but again, I'm going to be a fan and hope. Last time we were in this position, we lost three games in a row. We bounced back, and I'm hoping for the same. Brighton has bounced back from a horrible run of form. Horrid, in fact. and I'm just hoping that, my team will also maybe, bounce back. They were playing, the games we've won, we're playing very well. It's not like the other teams were laying down. We're actually playing very well. And all the players are there. I think we're just missing a Tierney not there, but yeah, I think we still have a good squad. The only problem I think we're going to have is I'm not sure what's happening with him. I don't know where he is. They're seeing him in pubs.
Can you please touch on that? Because there's a rumor that he's had a falling out with Arteta. There's a rumor. I'm not sure. I'm not there, but there's a rumor I read today.
Yes, I'm also not too sure on the facts, but the only thing I did watch, and it's not a good thing to inform myself on, was that Claudio's Easy Wizzy, who's that guy's show?
And why am I giving that, you information to go look? Should have your own sources, Chief. Come on now.
Yeah, I know. I haven't looked yet because it's the first thing I heard about it. I thought it was injured because that's what I heard. And then I see he says no, that apparently they said he had COVID, and now they say they spot him in public. So there's a lot of things I need to just double check if they're true or not. And then there's also a message of him saying that he wants to play in he wants to play European Champions League football. And if all that is true, it wouldn't make sense for him to be frustrated, because the opportunity is literally right in front of him. He's literally got a contract with the team that can't get there. He's literally putting himself in the position. So if he doesn't make Champions League, it can only be his fault and the guys that are with him. The problem is it's only him. It's only him. If this, look, no disrespect to Nketiah, but like this weekend we started Nketiah and I was like,
Can you believe? If you had to look at it now, can you believe Crystal Palace wanted to sign Nketiah at the beginning of the season and he didn't want to go because they weren't going to pay him what he wanted? Could you imagine that player made the move to Crystal Palace? What would have happened to his career? Possibly an even England call up.
He could have done well.
Yes, he should have gone, because at Arsenal you're not going to get starting lineup. It's whatever's happening at Arsenal, it's not happening for him. You know, and so a new start would have been great. And I'm Crystal Palace with the Patrick Vieira, guy who knows the Arsenal team, and he wanted it.
Arsenal coach.
But yeah, he's playing bad now.
What do you think is going to be the result, Wanga? Yeah.
Hey, Sela, I want it to be a 3-0, man. I just don't know. I will say, I'll go with my heart, yeah, man. Let's say a 1-1. I don't want to come here and jinx my team.
1-1, okay. I'll say a 1-1. Claudio?
1-1.
So I was going to go towards with a draw larger because it's a big game. So I think Arsenal will, you know, they'll be up for it and they will frustrate Chelsea. And I think it's going to be tight. So I was going to say 1-1. But in this case, let's go 2-2.
But last time we punished it. Just don't forget that, guys.
I think it's going to be a 2-1 victory to Chelsea.
Chelsea.
I think Chelsea is just too strong for Arsenal in this game. I think they need to kind of focus on what's left for the season, which is to finish as high as possible in the Premier League in terms of points accumulation and for the FA Cup as well. Let's see if there's anyone else who's got a prediction there.
Wonga, do you have lip ice in your hands again?
He does. He's doing it again.
He does it every time.
He's doing it every single time. But yeah, no prediction from anyone in the comments, but I'm sure they'll come through as well. Last game, just to chat about quickly, guys. This one will just get a prediction. No words or complexities about this game, because I think there isn't really someone who can say much about City in this show. Because City is a newborn baby team type of thing. But yeah, guys,
they're not a big club. I'm sorry. They're not a big club. Even if they win the Champions League.
They're not a big club.
They're
not a big club, guys. I can count five teams that are bigger than Man City in terms of history. Okay, Arjun saying Arsenal losing again 2-0. Five teams that people mentioned that are bigger than.
There's too many losses, Arjun.
Man United, Liverpool,
Newcastle,
Man United, Liverpool,
Villa,
Chelsea, Newcastle, Villa, Arsenal, Spurs. They're all bigger than Man City. I know it's debatable about Spurs, but I think they're bigger.
Nottingham Forest.
Are they coming back up and they're going to show you who the real team? Because they've got actually a Champions League trophy in the cabinet, and Villa's got a Champions League trophy.
They got more than Arsenal.
A prediction for this game, guys. Wanga, what do you think is the result in this game?
Yeah, I don't want to speak too long, but yeah, I think Brighton, they're coming off. I think they've won the two games. They're on their highs, done. Man City. We need to prove a point. And you know, when they prove a point, it's going to be proven. And I think it'll be a 5-0 victory to Man City.
Yeah.
Okay, 5-1. Maybe Brighton do put something, but I think it'll be a bit rubbing.
Just imagine. They started, the starter was beating Arsenal. Then the main course was, you know, beating Spurs. And now they're going to go to Man City and just hope for that dessert there, bro. Could you imagine? Three of those back-to-back, three victories in a row against us. Look, like I said, it's probably not going to happen. Man City, Man City are going to come and just, you know, the hammer of Thor, Odin's Raven, they're going to come down hard and strike that lightning bolt, Man City. So, yeah, probably going to be a 3-1 victory. But you know what? Baby Brighton, they're not a punch above their weight. So I'm hoping, but it's going to be a Man City victory. But I'm hoping to be wrong.
Okay. I think it's going to be a 3-1 victory to Man City in this game. I think, yeah, they definitely are focused on the league, and let's see what happens in this game. But yeah, that loss in the FA Cup, I don't think it'll bite them in this game. I think it'll likely bite them if a potential Champions League final happens.
Steven Gerrard, last game of the season. Steven Gerrard, Aston Villa, Man City. Come on, Vards.
But yeah, guys, final thoughts. Wanga, what's your final thoughts there?
I think just all the Arsenal fans and even the management, they are tethered. Speak to your guys up there, bro. Hey, relax, 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 relax. You know, changing culture. We'll just win games and we'll be okay. I think that's what needs to happen with Arsenal fans. They will just relax. It's not all over. We still got a shout in there. But especially the management, chillax, relax. Take those guys away. Keep your money.
Take it easy. Take
just
it
win
easy.
Games. Yeah, just
okay,
win games.
Let's just relax. I know you're above me there, but it's only in the show, eh? Yeah.
Claudio, what's your final thoughts there?
From my side, is I'll go to sleep like a baby tonight if they can just give Man United a comfortable victory. I don't even want to get excited when Liverpool score today. I just want to go, ha, this is what it feels like to be on top. That's when the goal goes in, we're like, yes, that's what I want tonight. That's all I want.
Okay, no, that's good. That's all good. That's all good. Yeah. My final thoughts, obviously, as usual. Thanks a lot, guys, for tuning into the show. As your host on the cool down, Arjun, Aman, thanks again, Pums, thank you. I saw Jason as well there. Thank you, Jason. I saw Warren as well. I don't know if Warren's back from Portugal yet, but thank you as well. If you're not back, Warren, please bring us some nice things as well from Portugal there, even if it's just a key ring. But yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for tuning in, and yeah, all the best to the teams playing during the week. And yeah, guys, if you don't know what to be
cool. Be cool.
Be cool.
You see, that's why I do this to myself, man. Man, guys. Good night, guys. Good night, guys.
It's the lag.